Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we are going to look at the laws of living in the Sukkah, part 2. This is Simon Kuf Lamed Hey 135. In the halachas of the Shulchan, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Let's jump it straight in. Today we're going to be looking at three concepts. We're going to be looking at exemptions due to rain, cold, or discomfort, the bracha of leishev sukkah, and who is obligated or exempt from the sukkah. Okay, let's go straight from the top. So exemptions due to rain, cold, and discomfort. When is one exempt from the sukkah due to rain? So it needs to be that the rain that is coming through the schach is enough to spoil a food dish that one would be eating. What another matrix for measuring this is that if a person were to be in the house and there'd be a leak in the room, they would leave that room in a regular house. Then if that would be the degree of a leak, then they would also leave the sukkah in such a case, because one treats it like one's house. What if rain begins during the meal? So if it's not the first night, one can leave and eat indoors. What if the rain stops then, like let's say 20 minutes later? So then other than the first or second night of sukkahs, one does not need to go back out. How cold must it be to leave the sukkah? So once the food starts congealing that from the cold, that's when one should be leaving the sukkah. So again, you know, it's not just a breeze, because otherwise people would never eat in a sukkah. Let's move a little further. How much rain exempts one from sleeping in the sukkah? So even a slight amount of rain exempts one, because it's not comfortable to sleep even in a drizzle, since it disturbs that sleep. What happens if the rain stops in the middle of the night? Once one is inside, one does not need to come back out in the middle of the night. This is even on the first night of sukkahs. What if it wants to stick it out and say, you know, I don't mind the cold, I don't mind the rain, I'm going to stay in the sukkah. In that case, the Mishnah calls such a person a simpleton, a hediot. That is not a compliment. And the bracha said in such a context of leishev would be a bracha levatola. There are some groups of chassidim who do such a thing, who do go out for Kabbalistic reasons. But it's a mishnah mufureshes, it's an explicit mishnah, that when one is exempt, one does not need to go to the extra length to stay in the sukkah. What is the attitude when leaving due to the rain? So one should not complain, but leave it in a humble way, as the Mishnah describes, like a servant whose offering was rejected from their master. This may only be in the case of in Israel, but in general, this is something one has to take sensitivity. It's not a good thing when it rains. One should not be excited to be going to the house. What about other discomforts? Are there any other discomforts which would exempt one from being in the sukkah? So yes, bad smells, extreme cold, very strong winds, lack of light. Let's say the lights broke, or the candles went out. In those cases, of course, the light, if it can't be relit because it's Shabbos, as an example, in Yom Tov. But if it's a regular Yom Tov, you can relight because of taking the candle from somewhere else. In those cases, the one would be not obligated anymore in the sukkah. However, that assumes that it was built correctly, meaning it was built when there was no odor, when it wasn't crazy cold, when there was light. If it was not built originally in such a suitable condition, then the sukkah itself is not valid. But if it was built correctly and then by chance, then this circumstance occurred, then in those cases, one would be allowed to go in as well. May one adjust the sukkah if the wind blows out the candles on Shabbos? So yes, may one spread a sheet or garment on the wall to stop the wind blowing out the candles on Shabbos. We move to our second concept today, and that is the bracha, the blessing of leishev basukkah, or dwelling in the sukkah. When is this bracha recited? So although one is obligated to do all one's activities in the sukkah, one only says the bracha before eating a sudas keva, a fixed meal. And then it would cover the other activities. So when in relationship to the bracha of Boremi Ne Mezonos or Hamoitzi Lechem in Oretz is it said? So we say the bracha of Hamoitzi or Boremi Ne Mezonos, and then Leishev, and then we eat. It's unusual in that it interrupts between the bracha, the Birkas Hanenin, the bracha of pleasure, and the actual pleasure itself. This shows you the significance of reorienting that activity as part of the experience of sukkah. How long does that bracha last? So it lasts as long as one is not diverted. One is not, does not have a hesech hadas from the sukkah as well. So what if one stays in the sukkah all 7 days, except for bathroom breaks? In that case, only one leishev is needed at the beginning of sukkahs because it covers all of the activities that ensue. What kind of activities make a break? So if a person leaves to go to sleep in the house, leaves to go learn somewhere, leaves to go to shul, leaves to go to business, to have a meeting, in those situations, then the leishev ends, and the next time they come back, that would, when they say have a new meal, they would need to say a leishev. And what happens if one visits another person's sukkah? So one goes to the neighbor's sukkah. What would one require new leishev? The answer is yes, if they're eating the right amount of food that would constitute a suras keva, a fixed meal, they would say a new leishev in the new sukkah. Many people forget about this as they drift from their friends to friends' sukkahs. Okay, what if one forgot to say leishev before one starts the meal? So if one's still in the middle of the meal, one says leishev on the remaining part of the meal. And even if one's finished the meal, one can still say leishev because the remaining activities, like one's going to sit around the afternoon, play a board game, learn Torah, speak to one's friends, those activities have not had a leishev, and a leishev may be said, says the Kitzur. And we move now to the last concept today, and that is, who is obligated or exempt from the sukkah? Are women obligated in the sukkah? The answer is no, women are not obligated in a sukkah, but they may certainly opt in to the mitzvah and say a bracha according to Ashkenazic tradition. Are children obligated? So the Kitzur says that boys from the age of 5 years old should be trained by their fathers to eat in the sukkah. Even if the father is absent, they should not be allowed to eat outside the sukkah. What about the sick? So sick people are exempt from the sukkah. What about the attendants, those who are looking after the sick people? So for cholish anybody, like a person who is incapacitated but not in a dangerous condition, then when the attendants are needed, they are exempt. When they are not needed, they are not exempt. And what about when it comes to a cholish yeshua sakon, a person is critically ill, then the attendants are exempt from the sukkah even when not needed right this moment. What about travelers? So if a person is traveling during the daytime, they're exempt if there's no sukkah readily available, but they must find one nearby if there is one available. What about at night if they're day traveling? So at night they must try to stay in a sukkah or build one or buy one because the exemption is only for the day travel. What about people traveling to local towns, like the Kitzur gives an example, to collect debts during the day? So the debt, these debt collectors should drive back to their own town, to their own sukkah, to be able to sleep there. They should not just to pick up a hotel room and say, I'm traveling. What about travelers for a mitzvah? So shluche mitzvah, this is discussed extensively in the Gemara in sukkah. They are exempt from a sukkah if staying in a sukkah would hinder their mitzvah performance. Otherwise, they are obligated to do so. So if staying in the sukkah is going to hinder, they're going to get sick from staying in the sukkah overnight, or it's going to take away the time, so that they're not going to be able to perform a mitzvah, then they would be exempted. Otherwise, if it's efshel lekayim shneim, then one should still do the mitzvah or sukkah. What about watchmen? So if a person's employed as a watchman, and that person remains in one stationary place, then they should build a sukkah there throughout the duration of sukkahs. What if a person has a job which keeps them busy all the time? So let's say a person is a mashkiach. The example given by the Kitzur is a person is a mashkiach in a winery where non-Jews are producing wine. There needs to be a mashkiach to ensure there's no problem with stam yenom, wines which are moved by non-Jews in this case. So in that case, being as all their energies need to be focused on the job they're doing, in that case, they would be exempted from a sukkah. But if they have hours and there's times or there's... Let's say they're managing other people, and they don't have to be watching all the time. In that case, they are still obligated. What about people who go to their stores and people come to their stores and they usually would eat in their store on a regular day? Those people are still obligated in a sukkah, and they would need to find a local sukkah if they wanted to eat a suras keva. With this, we conclude the basic outline of the halachas of living in the sukkah, part 2. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.